from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two. I'm Kyle Madsen. He's James Hamm. Rocking with you until noon, then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. D'Lo back in the building today, at least I think so. He's back today, right? I think he's back.
I think so. I think we're back to normal.
I didn't hear otherwise, so we should have D'Lo and KC coming up. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320 if you want to call the show, unless your name is Javier from Vacaville, in which case I know you're on the line right now and I know you can hear this. Hang up. You're wasting your time. I'm dead serious. I'm not joking.
There we go.
I was not playing the other day on D'Lo and Casey. Anyways, Sacramento Kings. DraftKings dropped their 2024-2025 NBA season win totals. All right, fine. He won't hang up. I'll hang up on him for him. The Kings are sitting at 45.5 wins. That is the seventh highest total in the Western Conference. That puts them right about where they were last year. I know it feels low, but I think that's the right number. That feels like a good number to me.
Ooh, it's a draw you in number.
I know.
That's for sure.
I know. But here's where this is where betting markets get weird. Because I look at that, I would bet the over on this, by the way. If gambling was legal in the state of California, I would bet the over on 45.5, because even if the Kings win 46 again, like, I think their roster is better than last year. I think they're going to win more games than they did last year. Whether it's 47, 48, 51, 55, I don't know. That depends on a lot of things. But they should be at least as good as they were last season, if not better. That's why I'd lean the over on 45.5 wins. But this is where the betting markets are weird, because while I think Golden State and the Lakers or the Dallas Cowboys or whoever get inflated a little bit because there's a lot of fans of those teams and people just bet the over. And so it changes how the books have to make their totals. I kind of wonder if the opposite happens for the Kings, where there's going to be people who don't really follow the NBA super close and they're just going to walk up to a book and go, oh, Sacramento 45.5. Oh, under. And that's part of, I don't know, that might happen and that might be worth half a win or whatever. I have no idea. But like you said, that feels like bait to me.
It's funny, Kyle. During the DeMar DeRozan press conference, Monty McNair said something that stood out. He said, like, it's only us in Denver who have won 46 games or more in the last two seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that is that real?
That's correct.
And it is correct.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you're looking at that number of 45.5, and you're like, okay, well, then that seems easy. Mm-hmm. But from my experience, what typically happens is if a lot of people believe that to be the case, they're going to bet that heavily. like right in the first couple of days, they're going to keep like that. That number is going to get pushed up. Mm. And then the betting odds are going to change and they're going to keep pushing the Kings up higher until they get to like 48.5. And then people are going to bet the under and bring it back down. And so that number is going to change based slightly off of the way that it's bet. Mm-hmm. And so for me, like 45.5, it's probably really fair. Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, I think everyone was so surprised last year when it was 44 or 45 and everyone was all so disrespectful to the Kings. And then sure enough, there they are right there at that number. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I'm intrigued to see what happens with the actual number and where it's at when we get to the start of the season, because I think it'll move a whole lot between now and then.
I think that 45.5 wins at DraftKings Sportsbook. I think that allows for a couple of things to go wrong where, hey, there might be an injury. There might be maybe DeRozan just doesn't integrate as well as they want to early, and they lose a bunch of games early while they're figuring that out. I think it accounts for that while also allowing for, hey, they're gonna at least be good again. And every year we see teams way over the year the Kings went to the playoffs a couple years ago. What they surpass their over by like January?
Oh yeah,
they hit the over by before the trade deadline. It was crazy.
I think it was 32.5.
Man,
and they won 48.
Yeah, so this happens every year. This is not Las Vegas predicting that the Kings are only going to win 45 or 46 games. This is just a general, when you take everything into account, and yeah, it's about in this ballpark, and being in that ballpark is good, because if you're 4 wins better than your projection here, you're at 50. So I don't have a huge problem with it. I don't see it as disrespectful. I would just lean toward the over though. And maybe some sharp money comes in. And like you said, maybe we see that climb up to 46 or 47.5. By the time the season starts. But if you start getting too high, you're going to get people just hammering the under, and that's not what books want. But I'm winning over 45.5. I just can't. The world where they're worse than they were last year, for me, like, a lot of things have to go really wrong.
Yes.
And that's why I would lean toward the over. This isn't even a super optimistic. Things could go wrong and they could still be at 46. You know, to get to 45 or below, to be worse than they were last year, that's De'Aaron taking a step back. That's Domas taking a step back. That's DeMar DeRozan not working out. That's Malik Monk not playing like he did last year, the last 2 years, really. That's Kevin Huerter struggling again if he's going to be around. It's Keegan Murray not taking a leap. It would be a disaster if they went backwards at this point. I don't see it, man.
And to that point, like, I'm not sure what their games missed due to injury was last year. Mm-hmm. You know, they had the games early, like the 13 games that Trey Lyles missed in the beginning of the season, a couple of games that that
De'Aaron Fox.
De'Aaron Fox. But then someone else got hurt too in that beginning. Oh, Keegan Murray missed one or two games.
Kevin Huerter missed one.
Yeah, so they missed a couple of games early. But I hope people, like, Devin Carter's injury is going to put them at like 50 games missed to start the season. Like, they're already going to be at a tremendous amount of games lost due to injury, like, before they open the season. They already lost him for 50 games. And so I don't know. I'm sure they missed more than 50 total on the season due to injury because of Sochev-Zenkov missing 20-something games and all that. And then, of course, the end of the season where you had Huerter and Monk. Mm-hmm. But even the Huerter and Monk injuries only cost you like 16, 18 games total. Mm-hmm. So my point is that, like, the injury that you just sustained already, you have time to backfill it right now, but still, like, whether you're going to get the same quality that you thought you might have got from Devin Carter in year one or not, you're probably not going to. Maybe you can get a more seasoned player that can help. But that's where, like, this team is going to have to figure it out. They're going to have to make sure that their depth is okay to start this season, because as of right now, that's what my biggest question would be. Your depth and your athleticism and length still is a question mark.
I also... I I think the depth, you mentioned that Trey Lyles injury. Trey Lyles gets hurt this year, you're in deep trouble.
Deep trouble.
I mean, that's Trey Lyles, Alex Len, Jalen McDaniels. Like, that's a thin-ass front court, man. And that's where I've seen a lot of people in the chatty house today asking about Precious Achiuwa from the Knicks. He would make a lot of sense to me, especially if at this point, if he's available on a minimum, like, yeah, go do that. I think he'd be a really quality depth piece. But yeah, that's the other thing. It's, you know, we're talking about Monk injury or Fox or whoever. It's, dude, if one person goes down in their front court, they are suddenly in a world of hurt there. So I'm betting the over on 45.5 wins for now.
Okay.
And I feel really, really good about it. I feel
too. Good.
And are we in agreement too that if they're going under that, they have some, either there was a really bad stretch of injuries or they are in disaster mode?
Well, yeah, I think something would have to horribly go wrong. Yeah. Like, I used to, like, every single season, me and Dell, one of the stat keepers for the Kings, mm-hmm. The official scorers for the Kings, we throw out our prediction, right? And we always give each other like a plus or minus 3.
Mm-hmm.
So if you say 45 wins, that means 42 to 48, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're usually within the range. But there were a couple of seasons where it was like, hey, I think that they can win 45, but I want a plus or minus 8. And he would just laugh, like, what do you mean plus or minus 8? I'm like, well, because either DeMarcus Cousins will, like, everything will go smooth, or there will be drama midseason and the whole thing will blow up. So, sure. Like, that's where you have, like, this crazy plus minus. He goes, well, that doesn't seem fair. I'm like, well, you know, if I say 33, that means that they could win 25 or 41.
Like, sure.
Yeah, that's quite a range, but yeah, it's kind of one of those,
like, where
deals,
those teams
though.
Were.
Yeah, yeah. And for me, like, with Precious Achiuwa, if he's available and he wants to come in for again the biannual exception at like $4+ million,
mm-hmm.
sure, go for it. That to me would at least shore up some of the stuff you have down low.
We have some more fun odds stuff we can get to. MLB All-Star Break. We'll check in with the A's and Giants real quick. We'll also have good idea or bad idea. That's what's coming up next right here on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James Hamm over there, and by over there, I mean down yonder in Cabo. Kyle Madsen here in just regular old Roseville, although it's at least nice out today. It's a normal summer day today, which I can respect. It's not my favorite season. I think it's pretty overrated, but at least today it's not like oppressively hot. It's only 77 right now instead of 103 at 11:18 a.m., and that's really nice.
It's 85 here, Kyle. Oof. So it's been
a little
warm.
Humid? A little humid too?
It's super humid, but it doesn't really get much hotter than this from at least the times that I've been here. The last time we were here was like in the high 70s to low 80s, like every single day. It was spectacular.
So we've told Javier that he's no longer allowed to call into the show.
Yeah.
He was calling in and then stopped calling in. And now a different number called in. And I can tell because of the caller ID. What are the odds that it's Javier?
8-1.
8-1?
It's Javier.
I would go like 1,000-1. Hey, you're on the Insiders. Who's this?
So what's the problem, man?
Yep, thought so. All right.
That's amazing. Kyle, you know what? You have your own radio show, and you can do what you want.
Yeah, we'll end the beef at some point, but right now I'm mad. I don't know.
It's okay. I'm here for it, Kyle. I'm here for all of it.
All right. Good idea or bad idea?
Yeah.
Did you follow the Copa America final last night at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami?
I did.
Good idea or bad idea? Whatever the hell happened with security there?
It's a bad idea, Kyle.
Yeah. Yeah.
It feels like security worldwide has like taken a step back over the last 55 hours or so. I'm not sure what exactly happened there, but you have people like like climbing in a tunnel or something. Did you see that? Like they're climbing in through a vent.
So you
like,
had
what's happening?
So they from what I understand and what I was reading last night, and again I was reading this in real time. So if there has been some expose written, I have not read it yet. But it appeared that there were people who had tickets to enter early, and they opened the gate to try and let those people in, and the gate just got bum rushed.
Oh.
And people started pouring in, and they weren't, they wound up, and now we're just, I'm trying to go through the checklist. They weren't checking for like weapons or anything like they weren't doing any kind of checks. They were just letting people in. Ticketed people with seats were finding that there were already people in their seats, but security was telling them they couldn't do anything about it. You had people climbing up like the side of the stadium to get in. You had people climbing in the vents. That's what you were talking about, getting into the ventilation system.
It's wild.
It
I saw people climbing
insane.
Out of a vent on the inside.
It is insane, dude. And honestly, it makes me feel like I'm lacking in my sports fandom. I would never do that. And it's because I don't have that dog in me. Like that's what I think it comes down to. Whatever that was security wise was an abomination. Like that is dangerous. It was already hot and humid there. And there was already a crush of people there who were going to have, I think a little bit of a problem anyway, just from if you've ever been in a crowd. And it's hot. You got bodies running into you. It's hard to breathe. And on top of that, you have the security risk that comes with just letting people willy-nilly run into a stadium. I know they did the best they could, but whatever they did before the event to prepare for the event wasn't good enough. And
not at all.
That was a scary, scary situation. Thankfully, nothing happened during the game. Again, I haven't read up on any expose that's come out since our show started, if one has, but it looked like everything went okay. But bro, if I had paid $2,000 or whatever it was going to get into that stadium and I didn't get to get in because it was at capacity with a bunch of people who didn't have tickets, ooh, I'd be so mad.
Kyle, they said the ticket was like 960, average ticket was like $963 or something. So I'm going to guarantee there are a lot of angry people who didn't get in or whose seats weren't there when they went to go to their seats.
Mm-hmm.
That's not great, man. Like what a complete failure, especially in security.
Yeah, really tough. But congratulations to Argentina, winners of Copa America. Really sad to see Lionel Messi go down with that nasty ankle injury. But Argentina pulls through anyway in extra time. Really, really fun watch. There in Miami last night. Number two, Brock Purdy. ESPN has been doing their top 10 position rankings where they interview executives and scouts and coaches, and then they rank the players based on those interviews. Brock Purdy, an honorable mention outside of the top 10 of the top 10 quarterbacks. Good idea or bad idea to list Brock Purdy outside the top 10 at this point?
Well, that's a bad idea. I mean, come on now. I mean, look at his stats from last season, and his stats are only going to go up. He got more weapons. His roster's better. Like, I don't get that at all. I mean, he's clearly a top 10 quarterback. I don't know.
So I think that what you just said is the exact argument somebody would use to say he's not a top 10 quarterback. They would go, well, look at his weapons. And now the team has gotten, now his weapons have gotten better if Ricky Pearsall is any good. So
yeah.
I've decided that this is never going to end because the two sides are shouting into different voids. There's no set of facts that's being argued over. You have the people going, hey, who cares who his coaches and weapons are? Look at these stats. He was a top five MVP finisher. Of course, he's a top 10 quarterback because they went to the Super Bowl and he was really good. But then on this void, you have people shouting, but if he was on a worse team, he wouldn't be as good. And that's just like, all right. And this is just going to be interminable. I'm going to live in the gray area. I've just built a house in the gray area. I don't think he's top 10, but I think he's probably top half. And if he has another year like he had last year, regardless of what his weapons are, I think it's going to be really, really hard to not make him a top 10 quarterback. That's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, I'm going to put him higher than that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to say, like, statistically speaking.
Mm-hmm. Statistically speaking, he was
45 and 35, 4,500 yards, 35 touchdowns. That's what my projections for him would be. And I think it could even go higher than that. I think he can go 48 and 38. And the reason I think that is because I'm not sure that you're going to do the same thing with your running back position that you did last year. Mm-hmm. You're going to hope that McCaffrey holds out as long that like he holds up as long as possible, mm-hmm. but I would be concerned that he won't. And so I'm going to say that they're going to throw the ball a little bit more to guys not named Christian McCaffrey.
Mm. If he puts up 4,800 yards and 38 touchdowns in a world where Christian McCaffrey is not available for an extended period, then it would be nigh impossible to not put him in the top 10, in my opinion. But for now, it's fine. Fine idea.
Okay.
A's, selling at the trade deadline, which is coming up on July 30th. Good idea or bad idea by the A's?
It's a bad idea just because you already are just dirtbags and everyone hates you. And I guess you could just go all in on being like the biggest dirtbags ever. But I hate it because that's not what you should do. You at least have guys that can hit home runs. And I mean, at least you have that right now. Well, don't take that away from your fans.
Yeah, at least they're fun. Like
at least they hit eight home runs yesterday. I mean, they've come on now. At least they've scored.
I saw this stat, and I wish I could remember who tweeted it. Salute to them. This is not a Kyle Madsen original stat. The A's have scored 18-plus runs three times this year. No other team has done it once.
Oh.
And if they were going to trade in good faith with the idea of building out a real roster, that'd be one thing. But we all know what it is. We all know that it's going to be, if it's not at the deadline, it's going to be at the offseason. And if it's not at this deadline, that it'll be at the next one. It's just tough. It's a tough way to go about running a team. I think it's a tough idea for the A's. All right, we'll talk a little bit more about the A's and Giants going into the All-Star break. Team USA face Team Australia today in another tune-up game for the Olympics. We'll talk about that. If you have takes on the Kings win total, 45.5 wins, you taking the over, the under, call 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. That's James. I'm Kyle. They're Jiffy Lube, and they sponsor the show. This is The Insiders on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I'm about to sound like a hater. And I don't mean to be. I know it's, so I'm acknowledging that it's going to come across this way.
Kyle's going to hate.
Yeah, No, I'm not going to. It's just going to sound like that. And okay. Follow me, because this has nothing to do with, we'll get to it. Why is Tyrese Halliburton on Team USA? It feels a little bit odd to me. When he's running around out there, he played 18 minutes today in Team USA's win over Canada. Went 2 for 4 from the field. All 4 of his shots were from 3. A rebound, 2 assists. He was a +9. He had 6 points. I don't love the fit.
You know what, Kyle? What I don't want is for him to be part of Team USA and going around talking about like he's a villain.
Oh, yeah.
Like, everybody doesn't like me. I'm a villain. Like, dude, you're on Team USA.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to take away from who he is as a player, because I think Tyrese Halliburton is a phenomenal player.
I agree.
But when you hear a head coach of a team state at the beginning of like a camp that we believe that every single player here is a Hall of Famer, it's like, okay, look, man, like you have to earn that. And most of the players on that team, 10 of them, are like knockdown surefire Hall of Famers, right? Anthony Davis is a Hall of Famer, LeBron James, Steph Curry,
Tatum, like LeBron, Steph, for
Kawhi
sure.
Before he left, yep. Like
Devin Booker, right? Heading that way.
Yep, Devin Booker's on his way.
Drew Holiday probably there.
Yeah, he's probably there now with his 2 rings.
Bam Adebayo's tough.
He's not there.
Anthony Edwards trending that direction early in his career.
Trending that direction.
Joel Embiid, probably.
Yeah, no, Joel Embiid's a Hall of Famer. So, I mean, that's what I'm talking about, though. Like, we're talking all MVP caliber players, a bunch of MVP caliber players. Like,
MVP caliber players, James. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, he's not there yet. He's not there yet. And, you know, I just think that, like, for me, like, eventually Tyrese Halliburton might get there, but his inclusion on that team is kind of strange when there are guys who are, like, bona fide Hall of Famers that you would go, oh, yeah, that guy's in no matter what.
It feels like, and again, this is not hating. I think that Tyrese Halliburton has a chance to be a really good player on a really, really good Pacers team and maybe the best player on a really good Pacers team for a long time. But right now, his inclusion on Team USA, and maybe it's because he's around. He played in the FIBA World Championships and he's been part of the program, and we know how important that is. So maybe that's what this is. But to me, it feels like Halliburton's still just drafting off of the energy he got at the start of last year, where he was going 20-10 every night and was incredible and hitting game-winning shots and just kind of being a monster. And he just wasn't that player once he came back from his injury. And so maybe I'm jumping the gun, and maybe he's going to be a way better player next year post-injury and having an offseason, he's getting a chill or whatever. But right now, it seems like the Tyrese Halliburton train, like, stopped a while ago, but everybody expected it to be X miles down the road, and still they're operating like it's still X miles down the road, even though it's not. It has slowed down precipitously.
Yeah, but at the same time, you do need to bring your younger group along with you.
That's
and
true.
I get it, because he is part of the young core of great players that are
that's a good point.
They're going to be here. And, you know, again, I feel like De'Aaron Fox isn't included in something like this because he walked away from Team USA a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a chance to play in the games when China. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't guaranteed a spot. And he walked away from the program. And once you walk away from the program, they're very petty. That's what it feels like. Like they weren't listening. They weren't understanding about the why. And they also wouldn't commit to him and wanted him to commit to them and go to Australia for 2 weeks before being gone for like 4 to 6 weeks playing in the games. And they wouldn't commit to him even making the team. And he was going to miss a wedding. He was going to miss all this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, like, there is like they're a little weird in the way that they build out their group. And like, look, De'Aaron Fox was a huge, huge like U19 player for them. Like, he played with Team USA all through like the high school years and was really good, like him and Harry Giles and like a lot of those guys, Jason Tatum, those guys. But once you burn that program, they hold a grudge. And so I think that there are other players that could have been there that might have been a better fit or might be better two-way players, you know, than Ty. And that's not to hate on Ty, because I do think Ty is the next generation of great NBA players. And there's a good chance he is a Hall of Famer. Whether he makes it or not, we'll have to wait and see.
I'm also already over watching Joel Embiid play basketball.
It's a tough watch now, man.
Yes. Like, he was, and again, this is not, he's an MVP candidate. And if the 76ers are going to win a title, he's going to be at the center of it, figuratively and literally. But his game compared to when you just watch Steph and LeBron and Jason Tatum and Devin Booker and Drew Holiday and Tyrese Halliburton, even, you see these guys moving around on the court. Anthony Davis and Bam Adebayo, they've been playing together a lot, which is insane. But then it's Joel Embiid, and it just doesn't. The style of play is it's jarring. The juxtaposition between the way he plays the game and the way the rest of Team USA plays is crazy. I don't think he can start. He can't be your starting center.
I mean, maybe he can because he's so much more dominant than everyone else. But I think the biggest problem for me is that he just looks like he's dragging his body up and down the court.
Yeah.
And like, that's why I'm kind of like a red flag here. Like, what are we doing? Why are you doing this to your body? We already know what happened last season with him, like falling apart and not being able to play a substantial role. And even in the playoffs, like, it was sad watching him play in the playoffs. And I kind of feel like it's the same exact sad that you're watching him right now. His body just isn't there, and he should be spending the summer rehabbing and making sure he's ready for what's coming up next and working with a training staff that can like get him to elite athleticism again. And yeah. I just don't know that he can do that. And spending all this time with Team USA is kind of a weird like way to set yourself up for a season.
All that said, he was pretty good today. He had 10 points. He had 5 boards. He had an assist. He went 1 of 1 from 3. He went 2 of 5. 3 of 6 overall from the field in 16 minutes. And yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe he starts and maybe he plays 16 minutes. But man, the Bam Adebayo, Anthony Davis front court is nasty. That's filthy, dude. And I think that's what they're gonna, those two combined today. Let me see. 10 of 17 from the field. 27 points, 2 blocks, 2 steals, 2 assists, 16 rebounds. Anthony Davis had 17 and 14. Damn.
Yeah, I mean, and defensively, you don't get any better than that. Like, if you're a team like from, like, you're an Olympic qualifying team, and you're like, oh no, we're in Group D or whatever it is at USA, isn't it? You're just like, oh no. Like, how do you compete with that? Those dudes are so elite defensively, especially together.
I need to see him play against France. I need to see the Wemby Gobert front court against that duo. But I it's funny what the Olympics does, because I'm like, hell yeah, Team USA in any sport, any competition, I'm all about it. Whether I've heard of your sport or you or not, you are now my favorite athlete in that sport, hands down.
And it's funny because we talk on this station a lot about Anthony Davis in the context of Lakers v. Kings, and we know that Domantas Sabonis curls him up into a paper ball and tosses him in a trash can every time they face each other. And yet now Anthony Davis going for 17 and 14. I'm like, he's dominant, guys. He's future Hall of Famer. Like, who's slowing down Anthony Davis? I don't know. I don't see it. He's very pro yeah. Anthony Davis now.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting too, because Davis is he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. But you do have that want that he never sort of fulfilled his greatness. And yeah. I've talked about this, like I don't know if you can appreciate a guy fully until he's on your fantasy basketball team or your fantasy football team. Like, what if you're like, oh, I don't truly believe in him. And then all of a sudden he's on your team. And I had like 12 games this season where he put up 100 points in fantasy basketball, and like an average, a good player is putting up like 32. And you're crazy. Like, what in the world? Like, how did he get to 100 points again? And then you go look and you're like, okay, 28 points, 14 rebounds, six four assists. Yeah. Four blocks, two steals. You're just like, he is a marvel when he's going. And so, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. I'll give him that. But yeah. At the same time, Domantas Sabonis still just like crushes him.
Yeah. Real quick before we get to the handoff, because I forget if it's D'Lo or KC today, but I don't want to talk baseball with them and bore them. KC will talk baseball. If KC is here, we'll talk some baseball. But I know that's not Damien's. In fact, you know what? I would talk baseball with Damien, but I have questions about Damien's vacation. And he is here, by the way, looking dapper as hell. So, tune into youtube.com/ESPN1320 for that. The Giants at the All-Star break, three games under. They walked off the Twins yesterday on a Little League home run. That was much fun. I love a Little League home run. So Mike Yastrzemski hit one in Triple's alley. He has the triple. And then they overthrew third base into the dugout. Mike Yastrzemski scores, ball game over. The Giants three games under at the break. And I don't know that there's a team I'm more interested to watch at the deadline. Because you've got teams like the Dodgers who desperately need help with their pitching staff. You have the Phillies who are the best team in the National League. How do they get better? You have teams like the Marlins who are not good, but they have players like Jazz Chisholm and Jesus Luzardo who could be available, who could really kind of change the complexion of an all-star of a playoff race. The Padres are always going to be a factor, but I don't know that there's a team I'm more interested to watch than the Giants, because there's a chance that they go for it. And they trade some top prospects and they bring in a big name and people will rejoice and, oh my God, they're going to try and make a push. But also they're three games under. They have Blake Snell back pitching better. They have Robbie Ray on the comeback trail to add to their rotation. Marco Luciano's been playing better. Elliot Ramos has come on as an all-star. I could see Farhan Zaidi sitting on his hands at the deadline. Maybe adding a reliever here, maybe adding a back-end starter, but nothing big. And I could see the Giants still making a little playoff push just based on that. And if they don't make a move, though, I can't wait to see how their fan base reacts. Because
why don't
I feel
they
like
just go fleece
fed up
the A's?
Well, they could.
They should just go fleece the A's. I mean, the A's clearly want to like be sellers like they always are.
Yeah.
I mean, what would Brett Rooker look like in a Giants uniform? I mean,
boy, those trades don't happen a lot. A's and Giants deals,
yeah.
But dude, Brent Rooker would look nice in the middle of the Giants lineup. He can hit.
Yeah, Brent Rooker.
I've given up on Brent on my Brent Rooker take that, like, okay, this is a little flash in the pan. He had a nice year, but okay, no, Brent Rooker's good. Brent Rooker's an all-star caliber player.
Oh no, he's a launcher of home runs, and he's under team control for like another 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, super, super inexpensive. Like, what are you doing? But look, it's the A's. It's what they do. Yep. Like, Shea Langelier should not be comfortable at all. He's hit too many homers, even though he can't bat over 210. He's hit too many homers, and he's going to be someone that people are looking at. And like that whole entire team, you just like, it's a bummer to watch. But why not if you're the Giants? Go pillage.
Eaton 85 in the chat says Rooker, Miller, Butler. Typically, on a typical team, on a regular team, on a regular baseball team, that would be a trio that you're looking at and going, dude, the next 3 or 4 years is going to be scary out here.
Yeah, like especially when you add Geloff and you add Soderstrom.
Langeliers.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
there's just, there, I mean, you all of a sudden you're going, oh, hey, but you can't do that. That's the whole A's ethos is don't get excited about anyone ever. I'm interested to see though, the A's have obviously Mason Miller has been like a top trade target for basically anybody who is in need of pitching help, which is basically every contender. Every contender could always use another pitcher, specifically a dominant closer, right? Or dominant back end of the bullpen guy. But the A's, at first it sounded like they might trade him, but now the asking price is so high. I'm very interested to see if a team does come meet that asking price and if the A's are willing to get off of a 25-year-old, looks like dominant closer in the making.
With 1 year of Major League Baseball experience. So yeah,
crazy.
Team control for five more seasons, something like that. Just crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. But yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if they just like let it all go. I mean, it's just brutal to watch.
Me neither.
Yeah.
But maybe they don't. Maybe they're gearing up to come to Sacramento with a ton of talent in tow, and they'll be exciting. They were exciting yesterday. They beat the Phillies. The Phillies, by the way, best team in baseball, just swept the Dodgers, and then lose 2-3 to the A's. The A's had no runs through three innings yesterday and finished with 18 thanks to eight homers.
Insane.
Insane.
There was a shot by Lawrence Butler that was, I don't know what the tape measure said, but my goodness.
Just a nuke, dude.
Yeah, he hit it to right center, like in the second deck.
Just ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Yeah, and it didn't, he's not even a big dude, just like going up there and mashing. So, man. Yeah, like you got a lot to build around. And I would be interested too, like if everyone's so excited about the A's coming to Sacramento next season, like how do you feel with them ready to get this roster again? And that's something like, hey, you know, this is the team that you think you're going to be watching next year.
Yeah. Yeah. We can dive into that tomorrow for sure, because it's time for the handoff. Everybody, welcome in Damian Barling. He's back in the building after his vacation. Looking outstanding, by the way.
I'm just happy James is alive based on the few times I tuned in from international waters.
Well,
I wasn't sure if James was going to make it.
We worked on it. He's feeling a lot better. Looks a lot better. Big shout out to Jesse for filling in. That was big time. How's it going, man? How
good,
you feeling?
Man.
Refreshed?
Yeah, sure. Definitely. No, it was good. No, it's fine.
Could use another week?
No, it wasn't that. It was just a tough week to be away. That's all it was. It was a tough week to be away. Obviously, there was a lot going on here. A lot going on with the Kings, and but sometimes you step away for the people that are important to you, and that's what I did, and I had a great week.
Love that for you.
Sure.
What'd you do?
I went to where James is at right now.
Just right there?
Right there.
Same spot?
Same exact spot James is at. I think James and I just switched rooms along the way. And
why didn't you set up like this then? I'm questioning your work ethic.
Again, the vacation wasn't for me. The vacation was for others.
Fair
so
enough. Okay.
It was about them.
Very good.
Well, that, and I took two. This is my second one. Like the first one, I dropped in a couple of times, but that was because it was the draft and it was the start of free agency. But this is more like we're back to normal, sort of. Yeah, I'm just not at home or at the studio.
Again, I'm just happy you're alive. I tuned
in
twice last week and it was like, oh, okay.
Oh, no. All right. Yeah.
We were working through it.
Like, there's literally nothing I can do about it right now. But yeah, no, if James is going to die, just die during the show. It'd be
ratings bananas.
I mean, that clip will go hyper viral.
I'm still on penicillin, just so you know. I'm still on penicillin
people of Cabo love that. That's great. That's great for everyone else at the resort, I'm sure, is thrilled.
So DeMar DeRozan is on the Kings now.
Well, how about
FYI.
That? Yeah, who knew?
Yeah.
Who knew?
Thoughts? So Monty McNair, today I saw some people tweeting about it, I guess. He kind of said, like, this is it. This is the roster. This is the core group of players we're going into camp with. And it feels to me like they got better. So I don't want to complain. I don't want to be the, like, oh, now I was all in on the DeRozan thing, but now I'm out on the Kings.
Yeah.
But I think they got better, but their roster still feels, like, woefully incomplete.
Yeah, so my opinion, and I didn't hear exactly what Monty McNair said, but my opinion on that is, like, yeah, the core of the roster is set. The core is DeMar DeRozan and Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox and Keegan Murray and Malik Monk. That's the core of the roster.
Sure.
And but that doesn't mean he's done doing other things. It doesn't mean he's done making moves. I think the you know, there's a lot that we'll talk about. I don't think there's anything to discuss in regards to Brandon Ingram at all in the Sacramento Kings. Kyle Kuzma will be interesting. I think there's a lot of flaws in the acquisition of Kyle Kuzma. I think it would probably result. I think no discussion can be had about acquiring Kyle Kuzma without him waiving his trade kicker. I also think there's concerns about the third year of his contract, given the fact that in the third year of his contract, I'm sure they expect De'Aaron Fox to be making a ton of money, Domantas Sabonis to be making a ton of money, Keegan Murray to be making a ton of money. So there's probably a lot of flaws in that as well. And I think you're probably looking at guys like Davis Bertans. I think you're starting to look at a lower tier of players. Like you're looking to fill out your roster a certain way. So I don't have any issue at all with Monty saying, no, this is our roster. This is our core group. Mm-hmm. I don't have any problem with that at all. Cause I thought that was the case when they landed DeMar DeRozan.
I'll tell you what, something somebody told me, Zach Beirute, actually, Rivercats radio broadcaster, said this to me when I was a young baseball broadcaster, and it meant a lot to me, and I've carried it throughout my career. He said, nobody's hanging on your every word. And I went, wow, that's really helpful, Zach. Thank you. And I've taken that with me. And then I'm at the chatty house. In the chatty house, if I use one word that I'm just like, hey, I couldn't think of something, so I just said, they're on me.
Yeah.
I said woefully short. That's probably strong, and I apologize. Woefully short is the Blazers.
Oh.
That's not a competitive playoff team.
It's not.
The Kings roster is just a little thin in the front court. There you go.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tay.
I think that's going to be, I think that'll be rectified, but the name that the Sacramento Kings acquired this offseason is DeMar DeRozan.
Right.
I don't think there's another player they're going to acquire that's even remotely close
to that caliber of player that he is. But is it?
Well, even if they do acquire somebody else, even if they take a big swing like Kyle Kuzma, that's not DeMar DeRozan. So I get what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you could still make a substantial move here. I think that there's a lot of posturing, especially with Brandon Ingram, and I think we'll revisit this at the deadline, and they think that they can probably still get value, and they want to see where their season's at, and I get it. But I still think, like Kuzma, they just don't want to pay two first-round picks, and I wouldn't either.
Yeah, I think the Kings will be far more likely to revisit the Kyle Kuzma situation than the Brandon Ingram situation. I think unless they can land Brandon Ingram, as you're talking about, James, at or near the trade deadline for what they consider next to nothing, then I think they absolutely would do it. I don't think Brandon Ingram is a priority for them, or I don't even know if like they created a
moved.
I don't know. I don't know. But I think if you created a list of players that they want, I don't think Brandon Ingram's in the top two.
It's the money.
I would agree.
It's the money.
Probably. Yeah, probably. Yeah, I think there are probably. Yeah, I think there are several things that play with Brandon Ingram, and certainly his future earnings are a factor as well.
Well, and really quickly on that, just before we go, like the difference between Brandon Ingram for Herter and Barnes, where you're swapping out $35 million for $35 million, and the other way, it is not good. So sorry, Kyle.
Yeah. What have you guys got coming up on D'Lo and Casey?
We'll talk a little bit about we'll talk a lot about summer league. Truthfully, I can tell you, like, we're gonna vibe, man. We haven't been together, like, we weren't together at all last week. We haven't been together for almost, I think, like 12 days. So,
oh my God!
Because we had field day.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And honestly, man, we're gonna have fun. We're just gonna get reacquainted with each other.
Can't wait, and I can't wait to discuss the cost of Kenny's T-shirt because I just Googled it.
That's a lot.
It's crazy.
He moves in a different tax bracket than you and I.
He sure does. All right, James. Salute. Go enjoy your vacation. Damian Barling, Kenny Caraway coming up next. The Insider's back with you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Until then, drink water and be nice to people. Boop.
Go enjoy.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.